message is on financial commandments, based on the Ten Commandments from the book of Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. Pastor shares some points on financial wisdom, on how to be a good steward of finances, and encourages to always put God first and the house of the Lord above everything, so that we might be financially blessed.
Tonight I want to title the message Financial Commandments. I want to base it on the Ten Commandments. Financial Commandments. Amen. The book of Exodus chapter 20. Verses 1 to 17. If you read it slowly, it'll get over by 10 o'clock. Then I can start preaching. You can read that at home. The first commandment is this: Thou shalt have no other gods before thee. Put God first. Always put God first. One Kings chapter 17, verses 10 onwards, there is an interesting part of scripture. Many a time I preached on it. During the time of famine, God is sending the prophet Elijah to the widow of Zarephath. How many of you know the story? And there she is just about to make some food, and she and her child are going to die. But in the 13th verse, the 17th chapter, 1 Kings, the prophet says, make for me a cake first. Before you eat and die, make for me a cake first. I want you to underline that word first. You're in a real desperate situation. There is a famine in the land. It is your last meal. What would you do with it? You would eat it. But the man of God is saying, make for me a cake first. In other words, first make me a cake. I always thought God sent that prophet to Zarephath because God wanted to take care of the prophet. But it's the other way around. God sent the prophet, the man of God, to Zarephath because God wanted to help the widow. God sent the prophet there because God cared for the widow. Because if you place God first in your finances, let me tell you, He will provide for your needs. He will release forth His blessing. Make me a cake first. Sometimes when you preach about finances in a church, people think it is because the church needs money. No way. The reason I'm teaching on this is because you need money. God will provide for the church. God will take care of the church. He's been doing that for the last 26 years. So I have no doubt that He will provide for the needs of the church and for the needs of my life. But the reason I'm teaching this to you is because you need God's wisdom. You need God's provision. You need the blessing of God coming into your life. Make the prophet a cake first, or in other words, place God first. This woman had a terminally sick child at home. You read the rest of the chapter, after a few days, the son is about to die. And God was concerned not only about the finances of this woman, but was concerned about the generations. God had to connect her with the anointing. The reason you came to church is because God cares about you. God wants you to connect with His word, with the anointing, with the church, with the body of Christ, because He's concerned not only about your finances, but about your generation, about your children. He knows what's going to happen to them, and He wants to work a miracle down the line over your lives, over your generations. If you believe that, put your hands together. Bless the name of Jesus tonight. Bless the name of Jesus tonight. Amen. Praise the Lord. The second commandment is this: thou shalt not make for yourself any graven images. We are speaking about godly wealth. We don't have a carved image where you can go light a candle and put something. It means symbol. Don't worship material things. You want God to bless you? Don't worship material things. Don't keep material things above God. Whether it be your car, whether it be your house, whether it be your land, whether it be your watch, whether it be your iPhone, whether it be your sound system, whether it be your blender at home, whether it be the clothes that He's blessed you with, don't place anything above the Lord, not even your shoes, nothing. It is amazing that you have to teach that in a church. Because I've seen even believers just being idol worshippers. Carved image. They have got things, the possessions, which are taking more importance in their lives than relationships, than the blessings of God. Goods to worship is about praying for everything before purchasing anything. Goods to worship, I repeat that, is, I don't know how many of you do that, is praying for everything before you purchase. It's not that you go into a shop and you like something and it's like, okay, get me that, get me this, I see something on the Amazon, okay, get me that, here's my credit card, here, swipe. No. God wants you to be a good steward, and He expects you to pray. I don't purchase anything before I go. Jesus, what are you telling me? Even if it is in an ice cream shop, having a double sundae, a chocolate sundae. Do you want me to have a second one? No, son. I want you to go and work out. I'm telling you, seriously, guys, you gotta learn to be a good steward. Everything that you see, don't think, okay, I got the money, let me go buy it. No, you got the money. You might not have the money. It doesn't matter. Money doesn't matter. What matters is your attitude. Are you with me tonight? The third commandment, do not take the name of Jesus in vain. Now we know that we don't use his name in a profane way or anything like that. We honor his name, we glorify his name. How many of you love Jesus? The name that is above every other name. The name, the only name that can save you, that can set you free, that can heal you, that can deliver you, is the name of Jesus. Praise the Lord. We want to carry and glorify the name of Jesus in our lives till the last breath, till Jesus comes back in great glory. We want to glorify the name of Jesus. Amen. We honor the name of the Lord. But I want to highlight that word, do not take the name of the Lord in vain. In other words, that word vain actually means too interested, too much interested in your own self. Conceit, or just self-centered or egoistic. You're just so centered on yourself. And why would God want to bless you? Why would God want to release blessing on you? You are your own God. Forget mammon, he's second place. Jesus is nowhere in the picture. And it is sad. I'm speaking about believers. Just too focused on themselves, on how they look, how they act, how they behave, how their photo makes. I mean, just. And they don't even realize it is something that God doesn't want them to be. Are you still with me tonight? Praise God. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Spending everything on yourself. Everything on my happiness, my joy, my fulfillment, my self-esteem. It's not that. Look at somebody and say, don't be selfish. Don't be self-centered. Sometimes you can't even see the poor who's next to you. Sometimes you can't even see a neighbor in need. Sometimes you can't even hear their silent cry. Sometimes you can't even sense what God is trying to tell you because you're just coming into church just for yourself. You're not even interested in saying hello to somebody. Just even when I say, okay, tap somebody on the hand and say, Jesus loves them. No, just me. Just Jesus loves me. Are you still with me? The fourth commandment. Keep the Sabbath holy. Exodus chapter 20, or just read it with Deuteronomy 5 is what is written there. Exodus 20, it says, the next verse, it says there, 6 days of the week you shall work, and the seventh day you shall rest. In essentially, that means be a good steward. Be a good steward of your time and energy. You can do more in 6 days than you can do in 7 days working. You remember in the book of Exodus, when Pharaoh kept the children of Israel as slaves, and Moses wanted to release them so they could worship the Lord in the wilderness, Pharaoh gave them overtime work, extra time to work. So they cannot worship, they've got no time for God. They got no time for church. They just extra time. You want to make an extra buck. God wants you to be a good steward of your time. And I didn't hear you. Time and energy. You can do more in 6 days than 7 days working. Look what God did in 6 days. Are you with me? Look at Genesis 1, what God did in 6 days. And the Bible says the seventh day he rested. Not that he was tired, but a principle that you follow. Some of us are resting 6 days and working 1 day. That is also not good. Some of us are forever resting. A good steward. Tithing is actually showing forth that you are a good steward of what God has blessed you with. That you are saying that God can do through the 90% that I have more than the 100% that I'll keep to myself. That I can do with the 100% that I keep to myself. All good stewards have three things in common. One, they spend wisely. And I want you to repeat that. Spend wisely. Two, they save diligently. They save diligently. And three, they give generously. Every good steward has these three qualities. They spend wisely. They save diligently. And they give generously. Are you still with me tonight? Is this helping somebody here? Amen. Praise the Lord. The fourth commandment, the fourth financial commandment, is honor your father and mother. The book of Ephesians chapter 6 says, it is the first commandment with a promise. That you might live long on earth and that it might be well with thee. I mean, sometimes, you know, a generation has come up, they got their own families to raise and children to feed. They forget to even bless their parents with their finances. To honor them. It is no honor for you if you come driving a Mercedes Benz into this church and your parents come by the bus. It's no honor for you. You're wearing the best dresses and they just have the same pair of dresses they've had for a long time. It's no honor for you. You're going to the finest restaurants and eating and taking a vacation or a holiday and they're staying in that place and have never stepped out of that house. There is no honor in that. Look at somebody and say, honor your parents. Honor your parents. Love them. Honor them with your finances. But the principle that I want to teach here is this. Children have to learn about God and money at home. That's what it means. Children have to learn about God and money at home. Don't think that sending your children for the Noah's Ark once a week will get them super anointed. Please send them. But teach them about the Lord and about finances. How you speak about finances at home is going to reflect in the lives of the children. What you speak at home, can you imagine that? If you keep saying at home, hey, all these men of God are after money, they're going to learn that. But you're going to tell them, honor the Lord with your finances. God will provide for your needs according to His riches in glory. Place the Lord above everything else. It's a great privilege to give to the Lord. It's a great privilege to bless servants of God. You have that kind of conversations at home. Let me tell you, your children will follow so, and the blessing of God will follow through the generations. If you believe that, put your hands up and say, Jesus, bless my generations. Let there be financial wisdom in my home. But if you're going to tell them, if you pray all the time and just go to church and just pray in tongues, who will take care of you? What will you eat? But the biggest thing in life is to make money somehow. If you tell them they're at home, that's what they're going to do. Unsuccessfully. Biblically, they might have all the wealth in this world, but their soul will be cut away from God, and eternity they will be lost. Are you with me? But you teach them the fear of God, honoring the Lord with your substance, blessing the name of Jesus at home, and that's what they're gonna follow, and the blessing of God will flow through. For a minute, lift your hands up and pray for your family, pray for your generations, that they would walk in the blessing of God, that the presence of God would come over them, that there would be an anointing released over them, that prosperity would follow them, that God would release His blessing upon them. The sixth commandment. Are you with me? Are you with me? Thou shalt not murder. Well, seriously, thou shalt not murder. There is something that I wanted to teach today that was on evil money. Money that is earned through murder, cheating, lying. Money that is earned through keeping back the wages of somebody who is working for you. Money that is earned through murdering somebody. Let me tell you, that is evil money. You will never enjoy the blessing of God. You can pray all you want, but unless you say, no, I don't want evil money, I'm not going to murder somebody. I'm not going to sleep around and make money. That's evil money. We're speaking about godly riches. Thou shalt not murder. What do I mean by that? Thou shalt live by your budget. Otherwise, you will kill yourself. You will want to kill yourself when you are not living on a budget. We have spoken about that before. There's a saying, if you don't have a goal, you will probably reach there. If you don't have a plan, you are in trouble. Budget. I heard this interesting thing which I'm trying to put into practice in our home. That is, implement Mr. Budget. Look at somebody and say, implement. It'll help you to take financial decisions without emotions. Implement Mr. Budget. What do I mean by that? For example, if my wife was to come and ask me, can we take a holiday? A vacation in Spain? And I would say, definitely, I would love to. But let's ask Mr. Budget. So you begin to ask Mr. Budget, what do you have, what is there, what's not? And then you say, no. We will have to stay put with Puttugada here because Mr. Budget says no. And you're going to teach your children also that. There is nothing wrong or embarrassing with that. Are you with me? They want to buy something. Let's ask God and let's ask Mr. Budget. Can we afford this right now? Once a preacher said he was taking his, he used to take his daughter for these budget meals. You know, the McDonald's had these budget meals. He was taking for that. And usually when you go in for a meal, I mean, you get a toy with it. Certain meals you get a toy with it. So the child gets to play with the toy. But in the budget meal, you don't get the toy. So they didn't have enough money. And so they asked Mr. Budget and they had to go for this budget meal where you don't get the toy. And they are going and buys the burger and the toy is not there. And so the child says, no, you didn't buy the toy. So the father says, we asked Mr. Budget and the Mr. Budget said, no. The child said, I want Mr. Budget to die. I just want Mr. Budget to die. Well, sometimes you would really want that. Because there are cravings, there are desires, there are things that you want to do. Mr. Budget is like a map, so you don't get lost financially. You don't have to write your own map. It's like a map that you don't get lost financially. Sometimes people don't want others to see their financial map because they are embarrassed of the shape it is in. But don't be embarrassed. You learn to drive, don't you? Somebody taught you. I take advice from people to see, okay, how do I budget certain things? Because if you think you can't make a mistake and you know it all and you're supposed to be Mr. Perfect, only Jesus is Mr. Perfect. Everyone else on planet Earth is imperfect. We all have made our mistakes and blunders. Anybody who has not? Sometimes we have spent unwisely. Sometimes we have spent too much. No. The eighth one. Exodus 20, 14. Thou shalt not commit adultery. That means you shall live within the provision that God has kept for you. Don't go beyond that or above that. God has kept provision for you, somebody for you, that's good enough. Don't go beyond that, above that. In other words, financially, live below your means. Look at somebody and say, live below your means. When you are buying things beyond your means, you are actually shaking your fist at God. I'm doing it my way. There are two reasons why people live, they don't live in their budget, or they make a mistake. One is they are not content with what is there in their lives. Not content. Philippians 4:11, Paul says, I've learned to be content. Whether I am abounding or abased or not abounding, I've learned. So it's something that you learn. Learn to be content. But if you're trying to compete with your neighbor or with some other believer or somebody else, they got a car, we haven't had a car. They bought a house, we haven't had a house. They've gone on a holiday, we haven't gone on a holiday. We got to do it, and there's something wrong. Either, is this helping somebody here tonight? Either you are not content, or the second word is gonna send chills down your spine. But I'll have to say it, it's gonna upset some of you. You would wish that I hadn't said it. Most probably you're gonna frown at me or walk out of this meeting when I say those words. But I gotta say it. It might sound not at all spiritual, but I still gotta say it. Are you ready? Are you ready? It's called Max. Max, M-A-T-H-S, maths, mathematics, you don't count. I hated Max. Luke 14:28. Count the cost. Before you build something, before you go out for a battle, before you do something, count the cost. Now we don't do our max. You're earning 4,000 rupees a month. And okay, 1,000 rupees you bought a shirt, 1,000 rupees. You spend on a dinner, 1,000 rupees. You went somewhere, 1,000 rupees. You gave to somebody, 1,000 rupees. Don't. You haven't done your counting. It's way beyond that 4,000 now. Stop. Are you still with me? You're not rebellious, you just can't count. You're just assuming. Children's education, vacation, school, house expense, food, count. The next commandment, thou shalt not I didn't hear you. Thou shalt not. Well, Malachi chapter 3 is very clear. You can't steal from God when you don't bring your tithes and offerings into the storehouse. But that's not what I want to say. It is buy now and pay later. The principle of buy now and pay later. It's amazing you can buy now and pay later, even saris, even sandals, even vegetables. And many people get into financial bondage because they buy now, pay later. Yeah, it'll come. I'm standing in faith, it'll come. I'm not against faith, I stand in faith. In an interesting survey that was taken, it was said that 80% of all tax refunds are spent even before they get it. You're spending. You're assuming it'll come, so you're spending it. Your employer tells you you're gonna get a higher pay scale in the next month. You're already spending, assuming that you will get it next month. Look at somebody and say, learn the principle of delayed gratification. You gotta learn to look forward to things. Are you with me? The Christian principle is, you gotta wait and you gotta work for it. You hear that? You gotta wait and you gotta work for it. It's delayed gratification. I want it now. I'll pay it later. I want it now. So I'm using my credit card here. Until Jesus comes back, you are paying off your credit card. But Christian thing is, you've got to look forward. You got to wait. You got to work. You got to pray. Looking forward to it. That God will do this for me. Yeah, I'm dreaming about it. I'm praying about it. One of the things that God gives believers is what is called hope. You've got to learn to hope. Because the moment you buy and pay later, let me tell you what happens. Your joy is gone. Are you with me? Because you're looking at, okay, I bought this house, now I got to keep paying the EMI. Where am I going to get this EMI every month? Your joy is gone. You're just miserable. Since you're supposed to enjoy that house. You bought that car, and every month now you have to pay EMI. And you say, ah. You lost your joy. Clinical description of depression is a person who has lost hope. So you gotta look at, is this something that I want? Is this a luxury or a necessity right now? Let's pray about it. I learned that from my brother, my elder brother. Certain things that he would said when I was there in States once, I'm looking at, is this a luxury or a necessity? Is it to show off somebody? Or is it something that I really need? And many a time, when you pray about it, you will experience the supernatural. I've lived by faith 25 years. And I've seen this. If my aftershave would get over, the first thing that I would do is pray about it. Lord, my aftershave is over. And it would be amazing. Somebody would bring me an aftershave and they would say, I felt the Holy Spirit asked me to buy you an aftershave. Right from something as silly as that. You want something? You pray about it. You'll be amazed when you pray about it and trust God. That's when the supernatural happens. Now I've been wanting, I'm laying the foundation on finances because I've been wanting to teach on supernatural finances. But I realize if I jumped into it and taught you that without a foundation, you would really mess up your life. So I'm just trying to lay a foundation here. And if this can get into you, are you with me? If this can become a wisdom for you, let me tell you, God will release in abundance supernaturally. He will bring in resources that you never thought possible. He will make dreams come true. He will give you the desires of your heart. He will glorify His life through you by blessing you. The next one is, thou shalt not bear a false witness. In other words, be a good witness. Be a good witness. What do I mean by that? It means that, you got yourself a great looking watch, but your child hasn't paid the school fees and has to stand outside the class. There's a problem there. Or you just travel around the world business class. But your wife, she hasn't eaten, she hasn't slept, she hasn't had nothing. There's something wrong. Tough times is there for everybody. Anybody who's never had a financial tough time? Anybody here? Never? You had. Yeah, everybody has had. I would keep both my hands up like that. And I would even borrow hands to put up. So, being a good witness does not mean that you never go through a tough time. It means that even when you go through a tough time, there'll be a tremendous joy inside. Because you know God is with you. He is your shepherd. It's just a temporary phase. God will bring you through to a spacious place. You're trusting in Him. The joy of the Lord is in your life. If you understood that, lift your hand and say, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. And the 10th one. And we pray together. Do not covet. Don't be covetous. Don't be covetous. Colossians 3:5. Can we read that, please? Colossians 3:5.
Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry.
And covetousness, which is idolatry. Covetousness means to desire someone else's wealth. G- Greed means to hold on to wealth by any means available. To gather or hold on to wealth by any means available. Covetous means an inordinate desire for another's possession. So the Bible says, don't be covetous, don't covet. In other words, be content, and we heard about that before. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. When you're looking at somebody else's things, oh, where did you buy that from? Oh, you went there, that restaurant, and ate. So maybe I should also go there and eat. It means your neighbor or somebody that you look to has become your God. You didn't ask Jesus. Don't let somebody else spend your money. In other words, looking at somebody else, they got that, I also need that. Gosh, hallelujah. So some of you have to actually repent. You know what I mean? You want Bishop Wiley to preach now? Because I think most of you, the revival that you got is just wrestling with God at Jabbok and having my name changed was better. Let me tell you, 10 years from now, 20 years from now, if this word has really gone into your heart, you will thank me for this message. You will say, I had the foundation, Pastor. Thank you so much for this word. Hallelujah. I had the foundation. I had the foundation. I am blessed beyond measure. God has blessed and prospered me. Solomon, every year he had 4.5 tons of gold coming to him every year. 6,000 kilos of wheat per day. 12,000 kilos of beef every day. Not eating, trading. And 4,000 kilos of meat every day. He was trading in those huge numbers. But when you study the book of Proverbs, you find wisdom had a lot to do with it. He had certain principles. And one of them is stewardship and generosity. These two things. He was a good steward and generous. And he kept the Lord's house above everything else. And you will find God tremendously blessing him. Amen. So let's close our eyes. Let's ask God for that wisdom. If you need to repent, you need to say, Lord, I need to repent. Help me, but I receive this word. It is okay to kneel down or stand up and just... You know, I want these 7 weeks of messages to really go into your heart. And that's when you get understanding. That's when you will tap into the anointing. Kneel down in the presence of God. Close your eyes. Speak to the Lord. ask Him forgiveness. If there is any word of correction that has come about, don't let pride keep you from humbling yourself before the mighty hand of God and saying, Lord, I'm sorry for these mistakes. God doesn't want you to be in debt. God doesn't want you in poverty. God doesn't want you struggling to survive financially. But He can only bless you when you allow His wisdom to flow into you.
When we were talking about Jacob earlier, and he said, Lord, I will tithe and give you first fruits, he learned that from his grandfather. Abraham tithed. People say, I'm not going to tithe because it's under the law. But Abraham tithed 300 years before the law. It was a financial principle he understood. You cannot outgive God. At Christmas time, we were with our children, and my granddaughter's turned 16. She's been working as a busboy at the restaurant. The Christmas card she handed me, nobody told her to do anything. She handed me a Christmas card, and in that Christmas card, it was two $100 bills, and she said, this is for your India trip. She was tithing on her busboy money. And my daughter said, we never said anything to her, but she learned that from my daughter and son-in-law, that the principle of giving, that you can't outgive God. If our motives are wrong, then you don't get good answers, don't get good results. But in giving to the Lord, giving yourself to the Lord, sometimes we give ourselves away to the wrong people. We spend on things that are not going to be productive. I got to have a bigger TV. No, I got to get a bigger TV. And see, that's coveting. And so the Lord is bringing us back to kingdom principles. And in those kingdom principles, He wants to bless you. He said, if you'll delight yourself in the Lord, He'll give you the desires of your heart. You want that nice car, you want that whatever it is, delight yourself in the Lord, and He's going to give you the desires of your heart. How many times have I said that to the young people wanting to get married? You want the best, you need to be the best. You need to let the Lord arrange that for you as you are preparing yourself. God is preparing for you what He has for you. Amen. So it's the same principle.
Lift your hearts and your hands to the Lord and say, Jesus, I surrender my life to you. I'm sorry for not being a good steward of every blessing of finances. Lord, I receive your wisdom. Help me to be what you want me to be. I surrender my finances to you. Jesus, you are my Lord.
I believe
you will provide for all my needs according to your riches and glory. Forgive me for having strayed away from your financial wisdom. Cleanse me, Lord, with your precious blood. Be my Lord and Master. I surrender to you, Jesus. I submit to you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Fill me with your wisdom. Fill me with your understanding. Thank you, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Teach me, Lord. Help me to walk in your ways. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now lift your hands and praise the name of the Lord for some time. Thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him, thank Him. Praise you, Father. Raidavalam Sahatura Jadiram Sahitanam Raidalam Sahaturam Jara Nilam Samjara Danam Raidagalpam Samjara Danam Sidara Janam Raidagalpam Sudara Jari Damanam Samjara Danam Samjara Danam Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yeshuvinte naamathil, Yeshuvinte naamathil, Yeshuvinte naamathil. അങ്ങയുടെ മക്കളുടെ സാമ്പത്തികത്തെ കയറി മുറുകെ പിടിച്ചിരിക്കുന്ന സകല അന്ധകാര ശക്തികളോട് ഞങ്ങൾ ഒരുമിച്ച് നസ്രായനായ യേശുവിന്റെ നാമത്തിൽ അധികാരമെടുത്ത് കൽപ്പിക്കുന്നു. ബന്ധനങ്ങൾ വിട്ടുമാറട്ടെ. ദൈവിക ജ്ഞാനം റിലീസ് ആകട്ടെ. സൂപ്പർ നാച്ചുറൽ ആയിട്ടുള്ള ബ്ലെസ്സിംഗ് വന്നറിയട്ടെ യേശുവിന്റെ അധികാരമുള്ള നാമത്തിൽ. ഐ കോൾ ഫോർത്ത് ഫോർ സൂപ്പർ നാച്ചുറൽ പ്രൊവിഷൻസ്, ഓപ്പൺ ഡോർസ് ഓഫ് ബ്ലെസ്സിംഗ് ഇൻ ദ നെയിം ഓഫ് ജീസസ്. സൂപ്പർ നാച്ചുറൽ റിലീസ് ഇൻ ദ നെയിം ഓഫ് ദ ലോർഡ്. റൈദാനം സെചാർ ഡമന ബൗഡിയാന. Correct their mistakes, oh God. Help them to flow in your wisdom. Let your blessing come upon your people. We give you glory and honor in Jesus' precious name.
Thank you for being here. You have just been blessed by a powerful message from Pastor Rajesh Matthew. We at Cornerstone Church encourage you to join us as we gather in the name of Jesus to worship the Lord and to feed on His fresh word every Sunday morning at 8:30 a.m. for the Malayalam services and for the English services on Fridays 6:30 p.m. and Sundays 3 p.m. in the afternoon. You can also watch us live at www.joshuageneration.org, where the services are live streamed and archived for later viewing. God bless you, and remember, we are for signs and wonders for the Lord our God.